Good morning, Church on the Rock. I was waiting on that, see? I'm just going to put this out there. They put the time up on the screen in the back to keep me on time. I hate you guys for that one. Good morning, Church on the Rock.
Good morning, Rashad.
My name is Rashad. They're doing it back there now. My name is Rashad Cunningham. I'm the pastor here at Church on the Rock. I am so grateful for all of you who are here, especially our guests. You could be anywhere in Brownsburg, in Indianapolis, in Indiana, and God has led you here. So we hope to take care of you for the next 35, 40 minutes, since they put time up there to try to keep me on the time schedule. But we're going to get started here. I want to pray before I open this one up. I got some heaviness on my heart of just making sure that God is glorified with this message. So if we could just bow our heads real quick. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning. Just for waking us up, Father. We thank you for getting us here safely. I ask that that with this message, Father, we're actually transformed. Something's changed in our lives immediately, that we see results immediately as a result of this message, Father. We are looking in, but ultimately just looking at one another, Father, to see how you would have us treat one another, to see how you would have us imitate Christ even, Father, in our way of caring for one another. So I just ask that the same way you've developed this message all week long, Father, that you deliver this message this morning. May they hear you and none of me. It's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. So we're in the book of Galatians. As Josh said, last week we was in Galatians 6:1. This week we're going to be in Galatians 6, chapter 6, verses 2 through 5. If you're taking notes, I do jump to other scriptures to support the principles that I pull out of our main text. Once again, you don't have to flip pages when I do that. I just want to support and show you that the principles that are being taught are things that are said throughout the entire Bible, and I'm not just showing you things and saying, oh, this sounds good. Let's run with this one. So we are in our Look, Love, Learn, and Live series, in which we are going through the entire year looking at our core values. The first quarter is look, which is being intentionally inclusive. We started out in January looking at God to be inclusive of his perspective. And this month, we're kind of looking inside into the church, into the believers, into people in general, to just look and see how we're supposed to care for one another, how we're supposed to take on the burdens of each other. So that's where we're at right now. And last week, we kind of had this really tough sermon of, we had a whole bunch of friends here, and we said, how will they have any want to be around us or be a part of us if we can't even love each other and restore each other when we fall in a spirit of gentleness and examining ourselves and ensuring that we're not looking down on somebody or ensure that we're not treating somebody different? So we call this series Give and Take, Give and Take. As you see here, this is our creative team. This is awesome. I missed this last week, so creative team, I'm sorry. But what I like about this is it's a gift. A gift is given and a gift is taken, right? And what happens is burdens, what we don't realize is that these burdens that we have, they're a gift that can be given and a gift that can be taken, because it allows God to meet somebody's needs, to meet somebody's hurts through each other. So we don't even realize it, but these burdens that come upon us, this weight that comes upon us, it actually becomes a gift that we can share with somebody else so that God can use them to meet the need or to take the gift, right? So we're going to get into some teaching here. I have 4 points, and I'm just going to read through the scripture first. Galatians 6, 2 through 5 reads like this. Bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone, and not in regard to another. For each one will bear his own load. So we're going to go back to Galatians 6:2. We're going to take this thing verse by verse. Galatians 6:2 starts off with bear one another's burdens. My first point is going to be this. We imitate Christ when we display the marks of Christ. When we bear burdens, we display the marks of Christ. That's the point. When we bear burdens, we display the marks of Christ. Now, let's break this down. First and foremost, that word bear right there, that's not bear like grizzly bear, okay? That is bear like to take on a load, to take on a weight. it would have been in the context of the Roman culture. When you look back to the Roman culture, there was something that happened back then where they had a law of impressionment, meaning if I'm a soldier, if I'm a military person and I have to take a trip or I have to go somewhere, if I come across you, just a common person, I can have you bear my weight. I can have you bear the things that I have on the journey with me for at least 1 mile. As a matter of fact, Matthew 5:41 shows us that Christ even mentioned this himself. Christ said in Matthew 5:41, get me over there real quick. Christ said in Matthew 5:41, Corey's looking for it. I'm going to call you out. Yes, I am. And it's no biggie. Christ said in Matthew 5:41 that if somebody causes you to bear their weight or to bear their, oh, here it is. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him 2 miles. That's what that was in reference to. Like, we take that Sermon on the Mount and we like jump here and we jump there with it. But what he was saying there is like in that context, there would be times when a Roman soldier could come up to you and be like, Genesis, I'm getting a little tired. I need you to bear this weight. This weight is getting too heavy for me. I need you to bear this weight. And then she would have to go for at least 1 mile. By law, Christ says go 2 miles. So that's kind of where the context of bearing one another's burdens comes from. And I want you to have that so you understand the mentality of how they would have received this in the message. So now if we go back to Galatians 6:2, I want you to see this. Bear one another's burdens. There's something that's implicated there. Everybody has burdens. Burdens itself, that word is a weight. It is an overwhelming weight. It's burdens. Does everybody in here, can you just a show of hands? You don't have to say what your burden is, but does everybody have burdens right now? Raise your hand. Seriously, everybody. If you don't raise your hand, I think you're lying. Everybody raise your hand. Everybody look around real quick. Everybody look around. Everybody has burdens. We have to start right there. Everybody in this room has something or has had something or will have something that weighs them down. Something that overtakes them, something that puts so much pressure and so much weight on them, they cannot lift it on their own. Well, we display the marks of Christ when we bear burdens. Let me give you a little example of that word, the marks of Christ there. When I get sick, a stuffed up nose is sick to me, okay? Now, I don't know, like, can everybody here blow their nose, like, successfully? Yeah, I can't. When I blow my nose, it gets worse. I don't know what's going on, but I cannot blow my nose. Ask my wife. So what happens is this. When I get sick, like when my wife gets sick, women know this, she can still go to work. She can still clean. She can still do everything she needs to do. But when I get sick, it's over. And like I said, that's just a stuffed up nose, right? So back when my wife was working, I would get sick and she has to go to work. And if it was summertime, my daughter would be home with me, right? It was amazing to see how she switched into mom mode or to wife mode per se and was taking care of me. She would do the soup and she would make sure I took my NyQuil and she would get the bed ready for me and all these things. Like she literally started bearing the marks of her mother because she spent so much time with her mother, right? I say all that to say if we're Christians who are spending time with Jesus the way we should, who are reading the Bible and seeing what he does, we should be able to bear the burdens of others because when we read the Bible, that's what he did. And we're supposed to imitate him, and we're supposed to look like him, and we're supposed to do it in a gentle manner and being spiritual about it. Why? Because that's how Christ did it. So when it says bear one another's burdens, he's looking at you and giving you a command basically to imitate Christ, or rather to look like Christ, to bear the marks of Christ, because that's what he did for us. Now, let's go and make sure the Bible says that. 1 Peter 2 says this. 1 Peter 2 says, and he himself bore, same word there, bore our sins in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds you were healed. So he says right there that Christ did this first. Long before we're asking you to bear each other's burdens in the church, Christ bore it for you when you was his enemy. Let alone his church family, right? Let alone his member, let alone his wife, I mean, your wife or your husband or your children. You're supposed to bear all those burdens, right? But Christ did it while you were an enemy, while you were on the opposite side of him. He went to the cross and bore your sins in his body. He died for you. He gave you the greatest example of bearing burdens. And then Paul looks at you and says, so now, as brothers and sisters in Christ, you should die for one another. You should bear each other's weight because the weight of sin was far too much for any of us to bear. The wage is death, and none of you could fulfill that, right? So he went to the cross and bore your sins in his body on the cross. That's what we're looking at here when Paul says, bear one another's burdens, right? But here's the problem with the church. We can't bear burdens because we won't share burdens. Understand what I'm saying? We can't bear burdens because we won't even share burdens. One of the most painful things I see is this. At the end of a sermon, we'll ask people to come up and talk about Christ or to simply pray, right? To simply share a burden, because we're here waiting, but people aren't willing. And nobody comes up because nobody wants to share their burden. Everybody's so concerned with what everybody has to think and say. If I walk up, what are they thinking about me? If I walk up, are they gonna think something's wrong with my marriage or something? So nobody comes up and nobody wants to share that burden. And then they go home, and then they're home with the burden alone. And then they isolate themselves, and they're with the burden alone. And they have this weight that is so overwhelming, and it's not meant for them to carry by themselves because they won't share the burden. They won't share the weight. I can't tell you how often I try to be an example here at the church by just being honest with you. Week after week after week, I'm very transparent and let you know the burdens that I'm going through, the weight that I'm going through. Because we're called to share our burdens so that we can bear each other's burdens, right? So why don't we do that? Why don't we do that? How can we display the marks of Christ if there's no burdens to bear? Because nobody's willing to do it. And this is why we put things in place. Because I get it, you come in here, there's 100 people. I'm not trying to share all those burdens with everybody. But that's why we have Thrive Communities. So that you can sit down and get real with people. That's why we have our fight club, so that you can be one-on-one and say, you know what, I can't share this at church. I can't really share this in the Thrive community, but one-on-one, Adam, I just want to be real with you right now, man. This is what I'm going through. This is my struggle. I'm trusting you with this, and I need you to help me hold up this weight. There's Christians that are struggling and falling and failing every day because they will not share the burden. And we, as Christians, are called to bear them. It says in Romans 15, look what Romans 15 says. Paul says this. He says, now we who are strong. Now remember, strong doesn't mean physically, man, I'm benching 400, right? Like, yeah, look at, yeah, That's not the strong we're talking about, right? This strong that we're looking at here is those who are strong spiritually. Like in Galatians 6:1 last week, we said those who are spiritual, those who are more mature, those who can restore in gentleness. That's what makes you strong. He says, now we who are strong ought to bear the weaknesses of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Keep going. He says, each of us is to please his neighbor for his good to his edification. Keep going. He says, for even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. He bore the burden. So sometimes what we do is we say this. We say, well, I hear you, Rashad, but can't I just go to God, right? Like, can't I just go to God with my burdens and just say, hey, I hear that, Rashad, but I don't feel comfortable with people. I don't feel comfortable sharing that because I'm worried about what they're going to say. I'm worried about gossip. People are falling. People are broken. So I just want to take my things to God, and I'm just going to wait on him. Well, let me tell you something. God will lift that weight off of you through people. And that's biblical. 2 Corinthians 7 says this. This is Paul. He's going through some things. He says, for even when we came into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were afflicted on every side. Conflicts without, fears within. But God, who comforts the depressed, comforted us by what? The coming of Titus. So God literally brought comfort for the burden of what Paul was going through, the depression, the fears within, the fears without, all those things. God comforted that with Titus, a human being. He chose that way. Some of you are waiting to have some burden lifted off of you, and you're waiting and you're waiting, and God's like, I've placed you in a church to lift that burden. I've placed you around believers to lift that burden. But you're isolated. And you're by yourself because you don't want to accept that kind of comfort. You want God to meet your needs and lift that burden the way you want him to do it. So you don't want to share a burden. You just want him to bear the burden. He says, I will do that through your brother in Christ, your sister in Christ, your church family. So you're sitting there and you're isolated and the devil loves it. He loves it. He wants you to sit there and not trust your siblings and not trust the church and not build that relationship. He wants you isolated. And we're allowing him to have his way. So before we can even start bearing burdens, we need to share burdens. Humble yourself. I mean, that's where the gospel starts, doesn't it? You look and it says, all have sinned. And when you realize that you are a part of that all, you humble yourself. When you realize that the wage of sin is death and you realize you can't do it, you humble yourself because you say, I can't carry that weight. That's the gospel. So what happens is some of us can't even do it here because we can't even humble ourselves. I'll figure this out on my own. I'm going to wait on God to do it my way. I'm going to wait on God to meet my need the way I think he should meet my need. And at that point, you're the one trying to play God. He has surrounded you with a Thrive community, with a Fight Club partner, with the Rest Ministry, with the Men's Fellowship. I mean, how many more things do we got to put in place for you to feel comfortable enough to come and share your burden so that we don't wait till the last minute and you're ready to walk out your marriage or give up on your children or give up on each other because you waited and isolated yourself and tried to do it alone and then have nobody come alongside you to pick you up. Look what James says. Look what James says right here. James says, therefore, confess what? Your sins, your burdens, that weight. Confess your sins to who? To one another. And pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. But we don't want to do that. I don't want to tell you what's going on in my life, Amber. I don't want you to know what's going on in my life. Zach, I gotta keep a perception. I gotta walk in here and have everything together for you. When actually I'm dying inside. I'm dying because of the weight of the world. Maybe it's not just sin, maybe it's just the weight of the world, which is falling in itself, right? And I'm trying to do it on my own. Because I'm scared of what you might say to me. I'm scared of what you might think about me. I'm scared of how I might look. I might look weak. If I'm a pastor, no way can I struggle. So if I stand up here and tell you guys week after week I'm struggling and call you personally and reach out to you on Facebook and have these private messages and I'm the pastor, then why can't you? Why can't you share your burden so that this family can bear it, so that you're not so weighed down later on that you just give up, that you just walk out, that you just walk away because you've been trying to do it on your own. And at that point, it becomes self-inflicted suffering. You're suffering because you want to. God has placed so many things around you for you. Remember, everybody here who's here, God brought them here. And remember, the gifts are meant for the edification of the church. So if I have a gift, is this preaching, this pastoring, this ain't for me. I don't sit at home in my, well, I do. I do sit at home and preach to myself. But it's not meant for me. It's meant for the church, for the building up of the body. We're here. We're supposed to be here for one another. So the first point is that right there. When we bear each other's burdens, we display the mark of Christ. And then he goes on, go back to the main text there, Galatians 6:2. And then he says, bear one another's burdens and thereby fulfill the law of Christ. So when we bear burdens, we display the mandate of Christ. Now, mandate is not like me and Darius, hey, man, let's go to the studio on a mandate, right? No. This is like the law, the regulation, the commission, the order that he gave, right? Now, this is where it gets kind of heavy because you got to understand the context of Galatians. The Galatians were dealing with some people called the Judaizers, okay? The Judaizers. Basically, what happened was this. Paul preached Christ, Christ alone, right? Christ died on the cross for your sins, and faith in him alone by itself is enough for you to have salvation, correct? Here came some people who said, okay, that sounds good, but you need to add circumcision and the law of Moses as well. Like, you need to keep circumcision and maybe keep a little bit of this, keep a little bit of that, and then you're truly saved. Paul came back and wrote this letter to the Galatians and said, no, that's not how it works. See, Christ and anything is not Christ at all. Christ and anything is not the gospel. That's not good news, because you can keep adding to that. You can say, first is circumcision. Tomorrow, it's you got to eat a certain kind of cereal. And then the day after that, you got to run so fast. I mean, there's just so many things you can add to that, and it becomes a law that brings death. Well, here's another law right here. It says, by bearing one another's burdens, thereby you fulfill the law of Christ. So let's compare these laws here. Let's go to Galatians 3. We're going to look at Galatians 3 real quick. This is what Paul said to the Galatians. He said, you foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified. Keep going. He says, this is the only thing I want to find out from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by hearing with faith? So these people have received the Spirit. They've been saved. And he says, now, did you earn that? Or did you believe in Christ as your Lord and Savior? And as a result, you start seeing fruits of the Spirit within you. He goes on to say, he says, are you so foolish, having begun by the Spirit, are you now trying to be perfected by the flesh? In other words, when you were saved by faith and faith alone. Now you're trying to perfect or sanctify yourself by earning some things. That right there puts you under weight. That's the burden that came with the law. That's the weight. Now, you've been saved by faith. Amen. But now you got to do this, this, that. We do that today. Sister so-and-so wasn't in church for 3 weeks. I don't know about her. Oh, man, when's the last time you posted something scriptural on your Facebook? I don't know if he's saved. And you start putting more weight on somebody. You start putting a weight that they get to the point where they're like, I can't do this. Like, if I got to be at church every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Thursday, and then Saturday night, if I got to serve in 13 ministries, if I got to be perfect and I got to do this and keep this law and keep that, I can't do that. I'm done. I ain't never coming back to the church. Why? Because it just seems like there's so much weight that comes with being a Christian that I got to do. All I heard about was Christ, and I came to him in faith by the Spirit, but now I'm trying to perfect myself in flesh because people have come into the church and said, you need to do this too. Circumcise yourself. Or in our case, it's all kinds of stuff. We got a long list of things that you got to do to be a Christian, right? But the Bible says faith alone. And as a result, when you get the Holy Spirit, he starts doing the work inside of you. That doesn't negate that there's things that come as a result, right? There's things that we're going to see. There's going to be evidence of the Spirit, right? But it's the Spirit working in you, not you. So look at this. Let's jump to the middle of Galatians 3. In the middle of Galatians 3, he says, for as many as of the works of the law are under a curse. In other words, people who live by the law, you're under a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the law, because he just showed you. He just showed you. He says, if you are by the law, then you're cursed because you got to keep all the law. Now, remember this, 365 prohibitory things, 248 mandatory, you have to do this, which makes 613 laws. It's not just the Ten Commandments, people. 613 laws, and if you break one, you break them all. All of them. You break one, you break them all. That's the law. You want to live by that? Okay, you can live by that. He says, now that no one is justified or seen right in God's eyes by the law before God is evident, for the righteous man shall live by faith. Keep going. He goes on to say, however, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. So if you want to practice the law, then live by the law. You can't pick and choose. You can't say, I'm going to do this, this, and this, but that doesn't even make sense. Like, killing animals for everything I do wrong, that don't even make sense. Well, hold on, that's the law. That's the law. You can't sit here and say, well, this makes sense today, this makes sense today, this makes sense today. Well, then that got to make sense today too. That's the law. If you're going to keep the law, you got to keep all of the law. Keep going. And then he goes on to say, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law. Having become a curse for us, it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Excuse me, keep going. In order that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles so that we would receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. So Christ fulfilled that law. Which way do you want it? You want the law of the Old Testament that lays down more burden? Or do you want the law of Christ, which tells you to just love one another and love God, that lifts the burden? Which one do you want to live by? Think about that. So he finishes off the chapter with this right here. He finishes off the chapter. He says, but before faith came, before we had faith, we were kept in custody or guardianship under the law, being shut up to faith, which was later to be revealed. Keep going. He says, therefore, the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ so that we may be justified by faith. In other words, the law taught you what holiness was. The law, go read the Old Testament, read all of it, and you'll see what it takes to be holy by yourself. Good luck. Like I said, I got to like commandment number 8 and I was done. There's 613 of them. I got to 8 and was like, man, I already messed up. On my way to church at that. Like, that's what it looks like. That's what it looks like. So Christ came because he knew you couldn't bear the burden. He knew you couldn't bear the weight. So he bore it for you and says, in response to that, bear one another's. That's what that looks like. Don't talk about each other. Don't gossip about each other. Bear each other's burdens. So he finishes that off by doing this. Like, look, I just love how this works out. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor, the tutor being the law. He says, for you are all sons of God through who? Through faith in Jesus Christ. Not by keeping the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ, you are sons of God. Let's keep going. He says, for all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. So therefore, he goes on to say that basically there's no Jew, no Gentile, there's no black, no white, no male, no female, no all these things that divide us today, none of that's in Christ. None of that's in Christ. You can't Democrat your way to heaven. You can't Republican your way to heaven. I'm getting in heaven because I'm on the left. I'm getting in heaven because I'm on the right. You can't do none of that stuff. Your politics ain't going to get you in heaven. Christ alone. So we, when we bear burdens, we display the mark of Christ. When we bear burdens, we display the mandate of Christ. Let's go to Galatians 6:3 real quick. Galatians 6:3 says this. When we bear burdens, for if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. This is what Josh was talking about right here. So when we bear burdens, we display the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ. And I'm going to show you that real quick, but let me just show you something real quick. There's two sides of the spectrum on this. One is this. You come to me with your burden, and because of how heinous it is in my mind, I'm better than you. I'm going to pray for you. Bless your soul. Right? Bless your soul. But I'm better than you. And now I'm going to remember when you came to me with this burden, I'm always kind of hold myself up like, well, I ain't that bad. Or the other side of the spectrum, I'm looking at somebody and they look like they have it all together, so I'm not even worthy to take my burdens to them. That's the other side of the spectrum. Both are completely incorrect. If anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. Like, do you realize without Christ you are nothing? That might hurt, but anybody who's a Christian had to come to that realization. Without Christ, you are nothing. So when you sit there and you make yourself to be something because you are what? Stronger in your faith, that's a result of Christ. That ain't got nothing to do with you. You think you're better because you're preaching on Sunday morning? That's a gift of God. That has nothing to do with you. You didn't, like I said, you didn't fill out an application and say, God, I want to be a preacher. He gave you a gift. You cannot, like, look at this over and over and over. You're seeing that you can't earn any of this. has nothing to do with you. So why do we keep laying that weight on each other, looking at each other, telling people, like, you need to be this because I'm this? No, no, no. You're comparing it to the wrong person. You see, Genesis had, in her basketball season last year, my daughter had her end of the year, like, basketball thing, and the fathers got to play against the kids. Man, let me tell you, I showed out. I showed out. I was like no look passing, and I'm like doing underhand, like, as didn't I? Yeah, she don't want to admit it. I was like Steph, I can't even shoot, but I look like Steph Curry because they all short, they couldn't get their hand in my face. I mean, I was showing out, I was bad. And the girls on the team was like, man, your dad is awesome. He's like all that and a bag of chips and all that and the hot sauce and all that good stuff, right? He was all that. Then I went and played like a week later with Clinton and them at the real big boys court. I didn't score, let alone make it up and down the court, right? So I felt like I was all that out there with my daughter and the seventh grade girls, right? Like doing my thing, like, what, you ain't got nothing, huh? You suck. Like flat out. And comparing myself to them, I thought I was something, right? Then I got out there with people my age, my level, my skill set, and I was nothing, right? So think about this. You, when you compare yourself to other Christians, you may feel good about yourself. Well, you know what? Compared to this person or that person, I got it going on. I'm like one step from heaven. Come take me now, right? But if you compare yourself to Christ, you're nothing. You're nothing. Understand that. So that's the way that we should be looking at this. Like when a brother or a sister comes through that door and they've never opened the Bible for the first time, you're no better than them. Because you compare yourself to Christ, not to them. You're looking at Christ and you're like, look, brother, look, I've read my Bible and I still don't compare to him. So we in the same boat. Let's start on this common ground and let's walk together. I will bear the burden for you to be able to open this Bible and understand it more. I'll come alongside you, brother, because I'm just as far as you are, honestly. See how that changes? See how that evangelism changes everything? I'm no longer looking down at people, and I don't come across like the holier-than-thou cocky Christians that we're known to be. People don't want nothing to do with us because we got all the answers. We're better than you. But instead, I say, you know what? I'm no better than you whatsoever. He is. He's better than me too. We both need him. We both have a weight that only he can lift. So let's do this together. Let me come alongside you and let's do this together. That's the mind of Christ, humility. That's the mind of Christ right there, humility. I think in Colossians 2, what we see here with that humility piece, keep going to the next slide there. This is what we see. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Keep going. He says, do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interests of others. Keep going. Look at this. Have this attitude in yourselves or this mindset, which was also in Christ Jesus. He emptied himself. That's what he did. He said, I'm here. I don't have to come down there, but for you, I will. To help you with that weight, I will. And he did. Why can't we do the same? Why do you think you're so much better than somebody? How can you look to your left and to your right and actually think that you're on some kind of elevated plane than somebody else? Well, it's because you're comparing yourself to that person. I look at you guys, and I'm able to be very vulnerable with you because I'm not looking at you and comparing myself. I don't care how many scriptures I've preached and how many times I've taught up here. I still am no better than you. I need the same Christ you do. I need the same grace every morning that I wake up that you do. So how can I condemn you? How can I come down on you? I may hold you accountable to something, but I expect the same out of you. Because that holding of accountability, that's bearing a burden. Remember, enablement is hate, not love. I'm not going to enable you. I'm going to love you, hold you accountable, but expect the same out of you. Bear each other's burdens. So we display the marks of Christ. We display the mandate of Christ. We display the mind of Christ. And here's the last one right here. Let's go to Galatians 6 one more time, 6:4. And it says this: but each one must examine his own work, and then he will have reason for boasting in regard to himself alone and not in regard to another. Keep going. He says, for each one will bear his own load. So I'm going to talk through this, and I'm going to get out your way. We display the measure of Christ. That's the last one. When we bear burdens, we display the measure of Christ. Now, remember, I just said, I'm not measuring myself against you, Christina. I'm not measuring myself against you. I'm measuring myself against Christ. So in 6:4, he says, you need to examine your own work, right? Like, before I bear your burden, I'm going to look at myself. Before I have something to say about you, I'm going to look at myself. It's the same as, hey, before I look at that speck, I'm going to look at my log. It's the same thing. How are we doing this? How are we doing this today? There's a reason every time. There's a reason I start going to the back for the altar call. That's sad. You ask people to come down and talk to you about the gospel, to come pray with you. Meet me in the back because I got so many people who are scared to come to the front because of perception and voices and the whispers and the things that are talked about. Well, how about this? How about this? Don't measure yourself according to the person that walks to the front. Measure yourself according to the person they're walking to the front for. Christ. It changes everything. That's what I want you to start taking from this. There's a give and a take. Many of us will take burdens, right? Oh, I'm going to pray for you. But how many of us will share them? And then when we do take them, how many of us are taking them spiritually? Not to hear and go tell somebody else about it. Not to hear and go gossip or spread some rumors about it or to think any type of way about it. But instead to restore, to build up. I want you guys to really think about that and let that change you today. You see, a lot of us right now are lonely, are hurt, are weighed down because of all the extra stuff that we're placing on each other with expectations that aren't even realistic. Expectations that don't even come, that you don't even see in the Bible. There are brothers and sisters at your workplace, in your families, in your communities, who if you just approach them measuring yourself to Christ, your approach becomes very different. It's not no longer about why didn't you come to church or why don't you go to church. It's more about I just want to sit down with you and help you with the struggles you're going through. Now check this out. One amazing thing when I started at Church on the Rock that I noticed that I never had was people would come to the front or go to the back or whatever, and they would kneel and start praying. And one of the most amazing things happened to me the first time I tried it, because at first I was like, what are they doing? A brother came up behind me and placed his hand on my shoulder, and he started praying with me. He didn't know what I was going through at that time, but he knew I was going through something. And he came up behind me, he kneeled, and he put his hands on me, and he just started praying. In that moment, weight was lifted off my shoulders. There's many of you in here where I've woke up some mornings and just felt the weight of the world on my shoulders with everything I got going on, and I've reached out to you and just asked you to pray with me, to just bear this burden with me. I need everybody to start doing that. A lot of you are always like, Pastor, how can I help you? Pastor, how can I help you? Bear each other's burdens. I shouldn't be the only one trying to reach out and do that. I shouldn't be the only one sharing them. We should be doing this together. I'm no better than you. And if you believe that, then prove it. We're all called to bear burdens, not just the pastor, not just the worship team, not just those serving, all of us. So as with every Sunday, I'm going to the back and I'm gonna be in prayer. It would overjoy me if somebody would join me back there, because the weight's getting heavy for all of us. Somebody right now is going through something that is just overwhelming. Somebody is sitting down in the seat right now with a weight that they don't know how to hold it up. Even with their husband or their wife, they just can't share that right now. And I'm telling you, we're here. We're waiting. Are you willing? So please, somebody, I'm crying out, and I mean this. Somebody come pray with me. Somebody come up here and pray. Somebody go over there and pray. Let's lean on each other. Have y'all heard the song Lean On Me? I'm not going to start singing because they already got started. But seriously, when you're not strong, lean on me, right? I'll help you carry on. Lean on me, right? So if you're looking for somebody to lean on, I would love to talk to you about Christ. I can bear some burdens with you, but I can't do it the way he can. And if you already have that relationship, and maybe you've just been in that isolation, maybe the devil has isolated you or your flesh has isolated you, just come down here and pray. Go to the back and pray. Somebody, I'm counting on it. Somebody's going to come pray with you today, because we're no longer going to be a church that walks in and has it all together. All right? I'm so sick of walking through those doors and thinking I need to put a face on for people who tell me they love me. If you love me, show it in your works. Prove you love me. When I kneel, come kneel with me. If somebody else is kneeling, come kneel with them. Stop calling us church family if we're not family. I can't have it all together around you because I don't have it all together. So please stand up. We're going to sing a beautiful song. And just think about what's on your heart, what's weighing you down. And don't worry about anybody else in this congregation. Just kneel. Just pray. Just come forward or go to the back. Let's just do this. Let's get rid of all the things that America says is church. And let's be real and do it the way the Bible says is church. Each other. I'm tired of America telling us what church is supposed to look like. I want God to tell me what church looks like.
Amen.
And he says, bear each other's burdens. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
This podcast is a ministry of Church on the Rock in Brownsburg, Indiana. If you want any more information about our church family, our pastor, or where we meet, please visit our website, www.churchontherockbb.com.